Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Climate Hawk's Companion. My name's Ted McIntyre. So, you have probably heard of a book called Moby Dick by a famous American author, Mr. Herman Melville. Moby Dick is a novel, one of the great American novels. It begins with a line, "Call me Ishmael," where the narrator introduces himself. Anyway, Moby Dick is considered a classic of American literature. And of course, it is about whaling. It's a whaling story from the sort of 1850s kind of time. But it's also very much a story about obsession. In fact, Captain Ahab, the one-legged captain of the Pequod, is obsessed with capturing the white whale Moby Dick and chases all around the Pacific Ocean to do so. Most people have heard of Moby Dick. I think many fewer have actually read Moby Dick. I'm actually in the first category. I don't think I've read it all the way through, but there you go. But if you saw the movie Jaws, the 1970s movie Jaws, you pretty much get the gist of what Herman Melville was talking about, right? In Jaws, Quint is the crazy captain who is obsessed with sharks, right? And he takes his boat, the Orca, out, and he's accompanied by the sheriff. I forget his name, but the Ishmael character is with him. And, of course, at the end of the movie, the Ishmael character has to basically blow up the shark by sharpshooting the scuba tank, right? Because Quint has been chewed up and Quint's gone. And anyway, if you saw Jaws, you pretty much know what Moby Dick's about. But as I say, the question of obsession isn't that far from the idea of the obsession of oil companies with profit. But that might lead us a bit far astray for our story today. Anyway, Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick. And in the year 1840, Herman Melville actually went on a sailing voyage himself. He signed up to go whaling on a boat called the Acushnet. Now, the Acushnet was named after both the river and town of Acushnet, which is a small town just north of New Bedford, where, of course, Moby Dick and the Pequod sailed out of New Bedford in the fictional Moby Dick story. But Acushnet's a real place. It still is a beautiful small town just north of New Bedford in the southeastern region of Massachusetts. You could look it up on a map. But the point being that Acushnet is real. It's got a long and storied history. It's a beautiful place. And it's the locus of our story for today. So what's happening in Acushnet? Well, in Acushnet, there is a pipeline company called Spectra Energy. You might have heard that name come up before. Spectra is building a pipeline all the way across the southern half of Massachusetts. Spectra Energy is building the pipeline that is going through West Roxbury, the West Roxbury Lateral, for which there's been a lot of protests. There are pipeline protests up and down through Connecticut against these things that Spectra wants to do. But as WBUR described it, the linchpin of the entire project, or a linchpin of the entire project, is an enormous liquefied natural gas storage facility in the small town of Acushnet. Now, just to keep our physics straight, most of this pipeline, and we've talked before about the highly pressurized gaseous methane that's being pumped through this pipeline. What they're going to do is take that highly pressurized gas, bring it into Acushnet, and compress it further to make it liquefied natural gas, right? You've heard of LNG tankers, right? Liquefied natural gas is something like 600 times denser than natural gas is at, you know, at one atmosphere. And the method of compression involves the use of a lot of chemicals, and as we'll hear from people in the later in the show, those chemicals are going to be emitted from this gargantuan new project, and there are schools nearby. There are schools not that far from where this pipeline is going to go. So anyway, earlier this July, there was a pipeline protest march that went from one of the schools that was within a mile or so of this big new proposed chemical releasing compressor station to walk past the plant and then walk and terminate the march at the other school that's within a mile or so of the compressor plant. And I had the good fortune to go along and talk to some people. So what I thought would be a useful thing to do is to listen to what those folks have to say about this challenge to Acushnet. But of course, it's a challenge to us all, and the people in Acushnet need our help. So let's begin. First of all, we will hear from a gentleman named Dana Sargent, who is the head of the South Coast Neighbors United, which is the organization that is leading the protest against this particular portion of the pipeline. So let's start with him.
Hi, I'm Dana Sargent, president of SCNU. I'm also an attorney in downtown New Bedford, but more importantly, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a neighbor, a baseball coach, a Sunday school teacher. The purpose of this march is to raise awareness to this issue. I'm still shocked at how many people either don't know anything about this or don't seem to understand what this will do to their neighborhood, to the quality of the air their children will breathe, and to the environmental effects that this could cause. If this project is built, our reliance on natural gas will go into the next couple of decades as opposed to renewable energy. What Spectra doesn't want us to know, particularly those of us who live near the facility, is that even during quote-unquote safe operation, there's going to be harmful emissions that are going to go into the air, and it's going to be for everybody to breathe. And there are three schools within a mile and a half of this facility, and anyone who is not concerned about that is foolish. It's good to know there are groups across the state of Massachusetts, groups in Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, who are fighting different parts of this pipeline. And Kinder Morgan, for instance, has pulled out. They no longer plan on building their portion of the pipeline, which really goes to show how grassroots groups like us can stop a terrible idea like this from happening. It's very important that the awareness goes out that we are actually going to be paying for this if they do it. Can you imagine? We will have to pay for gas infrastructure that we don't want so that Spectra Energy and Eversource can have these gigantic tanks in Acushnet and add gas infrastructure which will link us to natural gas for the next couple of decades, and we will pay for it through rate increases and a tariff on our electric bills. And then what is to stop them from exporting once that's done? Use this infrastructure. We'll get away from the idea that there have been tanks there for 40 years that haven't bothered them. Guess what? Those tanks are totally different animals. Those tanks, they bring in liquefied natural gas as liquid. It stays as liquid. The new tanks that they're proposing, it'll come in as gas. It'll then be liquefied, taking 600 gallons of gas to make 1 gallon of liquid. I ask you, what do you think happens to all the other materials that go in there? The answer is obvious. It goes into the air for your families to breathe. This is a bad idea in a residential neighborhood, but more so, it's a bad idea, period. This whole thing is being proposed for 0 to 20 days a year when there's additional gas capacity needed. That's what they're saying, okay? That clearly cannot be the reason they're building something of this size. If that was the true reason, they'd have small tanks near the power sources where the tanks where they're generating the electricity. They wouldn't have giant tanks in a Acushnet. It's a red herring. This is clearly to export for profit, and we get to pay for it if they do this. So we can't let them do this.
So after an opening, a few opening speeches, we took to the road, started to march towards the existing facility. I get a chance to talk to a gentleman named Ignacio as we marched along Route 18. There's a lot of road noise in the background. I hear cars beeping, but just take that as a indication of the level of support that this march was receiving as it marched through Acushnet.
So we're walking along. What road is it? What street is this? Route 18.
Route 18, Acushnet Avenue. We're marching in the anti-pipeline march. What's your name?
Ignacio Rahales.
Ignacio, what town are you from?
From Freetown, Massachusetts.
So tell me, why are you here?
Well, my concerns are safety issues. And the issues that why would we want to pay for big business to make big profit?
Well, talk about the safety issues, but what is it that they're planning to build?
They're planning to build a big two storage tanks. For liquefied natural gas.
Liquefied? That's not just gaseous. Liquefied gas. That's pretty dense stuff, right?
Well, the problem is that they're building a facility and they're building two tanks that are twice the size of the tank that's in Boston.
Oh, really?
And those are enormous. The fact that the gas has got to come in and then they got to process it to store it,
right.
That's the very dangerous part of it.
They have a compressor station or something?
Yes, that's it. The compressor station is probably more dangerous than the gas itself, because now they're using chemicals to do the process.
Right.
And
right.
The process being from liquefied to natural gas, it becomes a problem, because the processing plant uses a lot of chemicals to do that.
Right, okay.
And the chemicals emit into the air.
And there's schools nearby, right?
Yes. We got three schools right around this area, which are within a mile apart.
Wow.
And, you know, there's a lot of kids. We're talking 1,600 kids.
Really?
That'll be...
In proximity to this huge liquefied natural gas tank.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, the impact is... The pipeline that they want to run through East Freetown and Acushnet is gonna do a lot of damage to the environment.
Yep.
They wanna do away with wetlands, and they wanna replace wetlands with something else.
I heard somebody say 65 acres of wetlands they want to get rid of or replace.
That's 65 acres of 250 acres that they own.
Wow.
So now it becomes a problem with me, because I have wetlands in my property that I can't even touch.
Yeah.
Big business can come and delete it and
magically make it appear somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing of it is it's not fair to the public.
Yeah.
The fact that we have to pay for it,
right.
that's even more absurd.
I heard somebody say before that they were questioning why they would put this huge facility in Acushnet, which is right near the water, and it's not centrally located to service the state. And they were saying that it was all for export. They want to make New Bedford an export site.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yes, by all means.
Really?
Well, we don't need the gas.
Right.
When they talk about us needing the gas, they speak about 10 days in the winter that it goes below zero.
Right.
10 days, but they're not consecutive, so... It's not really needed for this area.
Yeah.
So the only logical explanation is the exploitation of it.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So big business want to make big money, so they're going to use little towns and little cities like ours to try to monopolize on profit.
And then have you pay for it. That's to add
on
insult
top,
to injury,
yeah,
have you
on
pay
top
for
of that.
It.
You know, we're paying terrorists now for things that we don't even benefit. So, you know, it's bothersome all the way around. It's not, the safety issue is the most important.
So the safety issue being proximity to the schools to begin with,
right.
And just this huge explosive thing in the middle of a city.
And if they tell you, okay, the gas is going to be omitted. It's not really harmful, but is that short term or long term?
Yeah, okay. You know, you please breathe that gas, yeah, Mr. Spectra.
Yeah,
why should I breathe it?
Why should our children breathe it?
Right.
We have enough cancer-causing agents out there now.
Yeah.
Why do we have to add to it? Let alone the climate change. When you see temperatures in the three digits, you know there's climate change.
Yeah.
Come on.
It doesn't take
a brain scientist to know that. You know? And then all the fracking that they're doing on top of that.
Yeah.
It's ruining this world.
So you kind of see this as part of, I mean, this does fit into a bigger picture.
Oh.
This very small town fits into the big picture of across the globe.
Basically. Right. Basically, this small town like this, there's no, they feel that their people are dumb enough to go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see the turnout today.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm glad to see more and more people getting educated on this LNG. And for us to stop them, we have to do it financially. So if we stop their tariffs, we stop the gas.
Thank you very much for chatting.
You're really welcome, really appreciate it. Yeah, no problem.
So as we marched along, we had a chance to chat with Gloria, who is concerned about the destruction of the wetlands that would be required to build the plant. Let's see what she has to say.
And we're walking along the route by the site. This is across the street is where the trees will be gone. Gloria, you're the spokesman. Tell me, why are you here on this march against the Acushnet gas tank pipeline thing?
Because they're going to destroy 64 acres of wetlands back here.
To our left, across the street.
Correct. Uh-huh. And that's going to be the biggest environmental disaster in the state of Massachusetts. And we want to protect that, and we don't want that. We don't want the gas tanks behind us.
Right, this is our nice tanks
in the country.
And this is a town that has no traffic lights at all.
Right.
And it's going to become a terrorist thing.
So across the street is it's 64 acres that they're going to replace.
It's 200 acres.
They're going to wipe out 65 acres of wetlands.
Oh, got it. And so this pristine sort of green site across the street is going to disappear.
Right, exactly. And back of these houses as well.
Really?
All these houses that you're going to start seeing, it's in back of them,
too. Oh, they're going to back. So these are abutters. These are people that are...
Right, and we're abutters on the other side.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for chatting.
Well, you're welcome. I just hope we get
that's what we
more notice, you know?
And so the march continued along. We got to the second school, and we had a nice continuing discussions there, but the people that are pushing these protests in the Acushnet area is an organization called South Coast Neighbors United, SCNU. We'll put a link to their website in the associated blog. Check them out. And of course, this is just an example of the many different pipelines that are being proposed for across the state of Massachusetts. So keep that in mind. One last thought before I leave you is that the following. Let's go back to Herman Melville for a minute. Herman Melville, of course, was an author. As I said, he went out on a sail on a whaling boat for a while, but about 20 years before Melville went for his whaling adventure, there was a different adventure. It's about the whale ship Essex, which sailed into the Pacific Ocean and then got rammed by a whale. The whale boat sunk, and the four survivors paddled back and forth across the North Pacific. No water, no food, cannibalizing each other, you know, all incredibly horrific stories. But one of the survivors made it back to Nantucket. And sometime in the 1840s, Herman Melville went and interviewed that survivor of the whale ship that had been sunk by an attacking whale. And that's the genesis of the Moby Dick story. I'll put up a link to Nathan Philbrick's great story called In the Heart of the Sea about the Essex. Amazing stuff. Anyway, we'll put up links to many of these things on the blog associated with this podcast. Please check it out. Of course, you can find the show on Stitcher, on iTunes, on all the usual places. We'll put up a link on Facebook. We'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Climate Hawks Companion.